Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. As I read and prepared for my sermon this week on our gospel lesson, even at the risk of sounding irreverent, I kept having this title for my sermon recur: The Healing Spit of Jesus. There's not a more earthy miracle story than this one, except maybe when Jesus spit on the ground and made a mud balm to heal a man's eyes. In fact, on three occasions, including this one, Jesus used saliva to effect healing. How strange. And yet, if we think about the various miracles that our Lord performed, these are really not out of sort. I mean, one time when he saw a widow following the body of her only dead son, Jesus stopped the procession, touched the bier, and the boy was raised to life. On another occasion, a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years touched the hem of his garment, and virtue went forth from him and healed her. Or think about the times that he touched lepers and cleansed them. Well, many other stories could be recalled, but the truth of the matter is that the grace and virtue issued forth from Jesus even down to his saliva. The miracle occurs in the region of Decapolis, basically 10 cities which were bound close together near the Sea of Galilee. The people had obviously heard about Jesus' healing power because they brought a man to him and begged him to lay his hands on him. In other words, begged him to heal him. The man was in sad shape. He had a double impediment. He could not hear and he could not speak properly. Of course, the two impairments may have been related. If you had never heard, it is highly likely that your speech would not sound right. We can only imagine this man's plight as he probably struggled throughout his life to communicate with those around him. Jesus, probably not wanting to make a public spectacle, took the man aside from the crowd, and then he performed two strange acts which were related to the man's ailments. First, he stuck his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat, probably on his own finger, and touched the man's tongue with it. And then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," the Aramaic word for "be opened." Why these strange acts? Well, we can't be sure, but our best guess is that by coming into direct contact with some of the man's impediments, the sources of the man's impediments, namely his ear and tongues, he is probably signifying to him that he is in fact the one who is effecting his healing. In other words, when he was healed, he wouldn't have to wonder about how it happened. He would know that Jesus was the one who did it. The message was not lost on those who were eyewitnesses. We're told that the man's ears were opened and he began to speak plainly. Great miracle indeed. Just think about how much speech therapy the average person would have to go through if they had never heard properly. And yet this man is healed instantaneously and completely. Note that it says he spoke plainly. And there's no mistaking who was the cause of this. The people understood how great the miracle was, and they began to exalt Jesus. He told them to keep quiet, but the more he charged them, the more zealous they became, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Now you may be thinking, what a nice story. I'm so happy for that man. But what in the world does this have to do with me? Well, I'm glad you asked. Since the early days of the church, this man has been looked upon as every man. That is, this man's physical impediments are a sign of mankind's spiritual impediments. He could not physically hear or speak. All of mankind, as a result of inherited sin and compounded by our own sins, are unable to spiritually hear, and speak. That is, in our own natural state, we are spiritually deaf and mute. What we need is for Jesus to open our ears and to loosen our tongues. As we said earlier, his healing virtue just emanated from him throughout his ministry, and it still does through his church by his appointed means. Two of the primary means by which Jesus continues to work in his church are through baptism and the Holy Eucharist. These are the current touch points where the grace of God flows to us in the most intense manner. Like this poor man, we are brought to the baptismal font in need of our ears being opened. And when the church prays and the minister pours water over us in the manner that Jesus taught us, our ears are opened. The Holy Spirit, who is sometimes likened in the scriptures to the finger of God, enters into our ears and opens them up. Now we are able to truly hear. We are enabled to hear the word of God as it is read and it is proclaimed in a way that we never could in our natural state. The Holy Spirit enters into our ears and plants God's grace deep within our hearts. This is a miracle of grace, no less phenomenal than what Jesus did in person with this man. The early church understood this and incorporated this passage into the baptismal liturgy in some places, primarily by employing the Aramaic word that Jesus used here, ephphatha. The bishop or priest would either use his own saliva or consecrated oil, and either before or during the baptismal rite, he would touch the person's ears and his mouth, his tongue, and say, ephphatha, be opened, imitating the actions of Jesus in this miracle. And the understanding was that the person's ears were now opened to hear as they never had before. The church even saved a special part of the catechism for after baptism, what they called mystagogy, their word for instructions in the sacraments or mysteries. They were inclined to think that it wasn't until after you had experienced the grace of God through the sacraments that you would be able to fully comprehend what had happened. But not only is there a connection between this miracle and our baptism, there's also an implied connection between this miracle and the Eucharist. Consider this. In performing this miracle, Jesus spit on his finger and touched the man's tongue, and it was loosened so that it began to speak properly, using vowels and consonants as he had never had before. If the spit of Jesus is that powerful, how much more powerful is his precious blood? Need I remind you of what our Lord said when he instituted this holy meal? Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. It is in the Holy Eucharist that we come as close to Jesus as we can get in this life. We eat and drink our salvation. If his saliva was powerful enough to loosen this man's tongue in our miracle, surely his blood is powerful enough to cleanse even to our souls and bodies. Beloved, for those of us who have been baptized, the Holy Spirit has opened our ears to hear the good news of the gospel. May God give us greater capacity to understand and embrace what this means for us. We have the ability to comprehend spiritual truth, something that those who have not been baptized can fully experience. And likewise, we have received something far greater than the healing spit of Jesus. We receive his healing blood through the consecrated wine at the Eucharist. And it has the power to cleanse our souls and bodies. In fact, this holy meal is intended to transform us into the image of the one who gives it to us. He in us, and we in him. Furthermore, if we have truly experienced this grace, why aren't we more like that astonished crowd that day? How can we not tell others where they can find such healing? Remember, at the beginning of the story, the man found healing precisely because there were some who were concerned for his welfare and brought him to to Jesus. We need to be aware that there are people all around us who need to hear about the great Savior and his healing power. On this day, let us thank our Lord for the healing grace that he has bestowed upon us. And let us be on the lookout for those around us who need that same healing. Let us bring them to our great Savior that they might spiritually hear and speak. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."